Good afternoon, Open Arms. I'm excited to be in church today. Hey, we're continuing our hero series, looking at some of the heroes of our faith. And JR kicked off last week looking at Elijah. And today we're going to continue and look at another Old Testament prophet called Isaiah. And Isaiah is such an important name. And in the Bible, names are so important. And even today, everybody's name has a meaning. My second name is Afolabi, A-F-O-L-A-B-I, and it means born into wealth. And I think it looks exactly how it should be pronounced. But life experience has taught me that that's not the case. I'll never forget, on the day I got married, me and my wife Rosie had arrived at a reception venue after being gone getting photos taken. And the MC at this reception venue had checked in with us several times to check if he had the correct pronunciation of Afolabi. So we went through it with him. Afolabi, 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 Afolabi. And then he got it. It was like an aha moment. Afolabi. So then he wrote it down on a piece of paper, A-F-O-L-A-B-I. Afolabi, and he was sorted. So then the time came for us to go into the dining hall where all of our guests were, and the MC was to introduce us, our second time being introduced as a married couple. So with great confidence, he stood up and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, please stand to your feet and welcome Mr. and Mrs. Adiodali." And we were like, pardon? Like, we went through this so many times, Afolabi, you wrote it down on a piece of paper, and you still got my name wrong. But anyway, we walked in there, we were delighted with life, we just owned it, and he looked at us as if to say, nailed it. And in our minds, we're thinking, no, you really didn't nail it, buddy. But I say all that to say the importance of a name. And Isaiah's name means God is salvation, or God saves. And the book of Isaiah is a collection of oracles, prophecies, and reports. But the common theme in the book of Isaiah is the message of salvation. And Isaiah is the messenger of salvation, and he's a prophet of God. And prophets are sometimes called seers, because they see things that we cannot see. And Isaiah had a vision of God. He saw the glory of the Lord. And that's why in the book of Isaiah, there's such a detailed description of the birth and the crucifixion of Jesus. And that was recorded 700 years before it even happened. So Isaiah is a hero of our faith. He's someone that we can learn from. And if Isaiah was here today and he was to give us one piece of advice as we journey through this Christian faith, I think it would be this. In Isaiah 30, verse 21, says, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left," how many of us know that in life we make decisions? We turn from the left, we turn to the right. There are times where we follow God wholeheartedly, and there are times where we go our own way. But Isaiah says, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" Isaiah teaches us clarity, how to hear clearly from God and to obey, how to walk in it. Maybe you're here today and you're trying to make sense of it all. You're trying to make sense of your life. You're trying to make sense of this whole church experience and of God. Maybe today is your first day here, or maybe you've only been coming a couple of weeks, but you've encountered us. You've encountered the experience. You've encountered the community. But everything that we do here at Open Arms is ultimately to bring you closer to God. Because an encounter with God changes everything. An encounter with God changes everything. An encounter with God will change your life. You know, the people that serve faithfully here week after week, the ones that love their communities, the ones that give, the ones that shine for God in their spheres of influence, they're the ones that have had an encounter with God, because an encounter with God will change your whole life. It'll change the way you see the world. It will reorder your priorities. It'll change how you love and honor people. It changes how you live day by day. An encounter with God changes everything. If you're here today and you were told that if you become a Christian, life is going to be so much easier, then I'm afraid that you've been sold a lie, because this Christian life will cost you everything. It will cost you everything. And life won't get easier for you. In fact, God, Jesus promises that we will encounter trials. But your life will definitely be better, because there's nothing better than a relationship with God. You know, I felt the deepest sadness. I felt the weight of depression. I felt loneliness and heartache and heartbreak. But sometimes God will use your greatest tragedies in order to bring forth his greatest triumphs in your life. Tragedy to triumph. Sometimes when you're at your lowest, God will do great things in your life. You know, when we go through hard times, whether it's sickness, loss, death, relationship problems, financial issues, depression, our natural reaction isn't always to run towards God. In fact, we tend to run further and further away from him. But today, I pray that that changes for all of us, that we would learn to be people that run towards God in every single situation. Come on, if God had a redemption plan for Adam's sin in the form of Jesus that would come 4,000 years later, I'm sure that he has a plan for you and your situation in your life. Come on, if you believe it, give God some praise. Isaiah went through a tragedy, a dark time. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6, verse 1. And it's going to be on the screens, so you can read along with me. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died. And this is so important, because King Uzziah was one of the best kings that God's people had. And he started off great as a king, but then he ended badly, and now he was dead. And the whole nation was in turmoil. They had no king, and this affected Isaiah deeply. This was a tragedy for Isaiah. But he says this, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and a train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, and seraphim are angels, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the threshold shook and the temple was filled with smoke. Tragedy to triumph. Isaiah had an encounter with God at his lowest point. He had a vision of the glory of God. I wonder how many of us in here today, God is speaking to us through our situations, through our circumstances, in our low moments. And if we would lean into him, we would receive all that he has for us, and that he would reveal his glory to us in ways that we would never think of. How many of us need an encounter with God today? See, an encounter with God affects us in more ways than one. Because when we see God clearly, we see who we really are. When we see God clearly, we see who we really are. And I wear glasses, and anyone that wears glasses can relate to me, but when I wake up some mornings, I don't put my glasses on right away. And I can go about my day. I can make breakfast. I can have a shower. I can walk around the apartment. I can do things that are familiar to me. But when I want to go a level deeper, like watch TV or go for a drive or go for a walk, then I'm stuck because I don't have my glasses and I can't see things clearly. Until we see God clearly, we'll never see who we really are. We'll always have a blurry, distorted view of ourselves. Until we see God clearly, we'll never know who we really are. God gives us the lens or the ability to see things clearly. Isaiah 6, verse 5. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. But my eyes have seen the King, the Lord God Almighty." Isaiah saw who he really was in light of who God is. In other words, he took the mask off. He took the mask off. And all of us came in here today wearing a mask, a version of ourselves that we want people to see, a version of ourselves that we think people will like, a version of ourselves that we want people to see. But the problem with wearing a mask for people is that we bring that same mask into our relationship with God. But God is a God who sees the deepest parts of our souls. The things that no one knows about you, God knows. But it's okay to take that mask off when it comes to God, because he already knows. It's okay to take the mask off and acknowledge that we are people of unclean lips. We've done things that God would not be happy with. We've done things that would break God's heart. We've done things that should separate us from God. But thank God that in his mercy and in his grace, that neither life nor death, or angels or demons, neither the present or the future, or any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on, if you're grateful, give God some praise. You know, I've met so many people that get stuck in a cycle, just stuck in a rut, stuck in a cycle, where they're doing so well spiritually, then all of a sudden they just hit a wall and they're missing out on what is and what could be because they're so stuck in what was and what could have been. Come on, you don't have to live with yesterday's lenses on anymore, because in God, your past is over and your future is changed. In God, your past is over and your future is changed. Yes, we're people of unclean lips. Yes, we have no right to come before God. But this is what Isaiah says. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.'" Come on, your past is over and your future is changed. You don't have to live with yesterday's lenses on, because God has given you a new lens that if you would put them on, you would realize, I am a child of God. I am forgiven. I can walk in the light. I'm made in God's image. I have something of value to bring to the world around me, because the past is over and my future is changed. You know, one of the reasons I think a lot of people don't get involved in what God is doing here on earth is because we have a distorted view of God and a distorted view of ourselves. We see God as someone that's out to get us, someone that's angry with us. And we see ourselves as people that are unworthy. Unworthy to be used by God. But listen to what Isaiah goes on to say. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." How incredible is that? Here I am, send me. God has an adventure of a lifetime lined up for you because your past is over and your future has changed. You're actually needed where God has placed you, and you can make a difference. You know, following God is the most exciting and fulfilling thing that you could ever do with your life. I think that if Isaiah was to encourage us today, he might encourage us in three ways. The first thing he might say is that God wants to reveal himself to you. God wants to reveal himself to you. You know, when it comes to God, there's always more and more and more and more and more. Why? Because he's a limitless God. Have you ever come across people that just think they know it all? Just me, is it? They just think they know it all. And the problem with that is that when we bring that into our relationship with God, we end up becoming boring Christians. And I don't want my Christianity to be boring. I don't want my walk with God to be boring. You know, people might say, "Oh, God loves me and has a plan for my life." Oh, yeah, I've heard that one before. "Oh, God sent his one and only son to die for my sins." Oh, yeah, heard that one too. "Oh, God's a God full of mercy and kindness and grace." Oh, yeah, that's old news. So I'm just going to not get excited about what God's doing. I'm going to be miserable and boring until Jesus takes me home. But no, I don't care how long you've known God. I don't care how long you've been walking with God. There's always more when it comes to God. There's always more that he wants to reveal to you. There's always more that you can learn about God. There's always more if you would lean in to him. Isaiah 55, verse 6. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." Jeremiah 29, verse 13. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Let's stop being so prideful and thinking that we know all there is to know about God. And let's begin again to seek God with all of our heart, because in him, the best is yet to come. Amen? I understand that for some of us, seeking God wholeheartedly and going all in may be a scary thing, because maybe we've come from something that's so familiar to us or so comfortable to us, or maybe we're afraid to let something go. But I guarantee that anything you leave behind to follow God is nothing in comparison to all that God has for you. So why not go all in? Why not see what God will do? Why not see if God will amaze you? Because anything can happen. God wants to reveal himself to you. The second thing Isaiah might encourage us with is that God wants to change you. God wants to change you. You know, one of the scariest experiences of my life, and I exaggerate a tiny bit just for effect, is sitting in the passenger seat of my own car when Rosie's driving. Not that she's a bad driver, she's actually an excellent driver, but it's something about not having control. We love to be in control, don't we? We love being in control. But maybe with God, it's not so much of a control issue, but a trust issue. A trust issue. But has God failed you yet? Has God ever let you down? See, in order for God to change us And I mean changes for real, not changes for a Sunday or changes for a week or changes for a month or changes for a year. To change us for real, we need to hand over control of our lives to God. He has you. He'll never let you down. Isaiah 1:18-19. Come now, let's settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. Come on, God can change you. You may say, oh, my whole family are alcoholics, so I'm just going to be an alcoholic too. No, God can change you. You don't have to be defined by your past. You don't have to be defined by your family situations or circumstances. You don't even have to be defined by what you're going through today, because God can change you. Come on, what do you need God to change for you today? We have to be people of faith that can believe God can change and turn around any situation. And you know, that's what I love about coming to church. Because we get an opportunity to enter into the presence of God as a body. And in God's presence is fullness of joy. In God's presence, we can be changed. We can choose to leave here today different than how we walked in. So many of us come to church and we know what to expect. And we leave here the same as we came in. But I challenge you today, why not have an encounter with God that changes you and you leave here different than how you came in? All you have to do is take one step in the right direction. You know, when a baby starts walking and it falls over, we don't look at the child and say, what an idiot. We actually say, come on, get up, stand up again, walk again. And I feel like that's how God sees us when we take steps and when we fall over. God says, come on, get back up, stand again, walk again. You can do this. You know, some of us have fallen. Some of us have messed up. Some of us have fallen away from God. But it's not time for you to give up. It's time for you to get up and try again. What do you think is better, baby steps or no steps? Are we all in agreement that baby steps are better than no steps, yes? So let's not be embarrassed by our baby steps. Let's not be embarrassed to take baby steps, because baby steps are better than no steps, and baby steps are actually better than going backwards. 1 Peter 2:2-3 says, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. A full experience of salvation. Some of us aren't even touching the surface of what God has for us. A full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you've had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Come on, there's more in store for all of us. And God can change us. Let's not be embarrassed by our baby steps. Cry out for change. Cry out for pure spiritual milk. Cry out for nourishment. Because baby steps are better than no steps. Maybe a baby step for you today is to sign up for Grow Track. You know, at Grow Track, you can learn about our church. You can learn about who you are in God. You can learn about how God has put purpose within you and how you can use that to serve others. Maybe your baby step today is baptism. You know, salvation was never supposed to be a private thing. The Bible didn't say that we are to hide our light so that no one will see it. It actually says that we are to go public with it, like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. So baptism is an external action of something that has changed eternally within us. So take a baby step today, sign up and get baptized. Maybe your baby step is to join a connect group. In a connect group, you can meet with a smaller group of people and get to know people on a personal level, and where people know you and you know them, and where you can develop strong relationships, because it's only in the context of relationships that real life change actually happens. And there you can learn more about yourself and about God. Join a connect group today. Maybe your baby step is to join a team. There's room on all of our teams for more people. And we just want to make a difference in the lives of people that come in here to encounter God. We want to make a difference to people that may never set foot in these doors. We have the answer, and his name is Jesus. And we want to make a difference. Take a baby step today. You know, one step in the right direction can change everything for you. The third piece of encouragement Isaiah might give us is that God has an assignment for you. God has an assignment for you. Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 3, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. And see, the glory of God rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." God has an assignment for you. Ephesians 2, verse 10. "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." We need to arise and step into the purposes of God in our careers, in our families, in our communities, in our situations, because God has an assignment for you. And my final point is that the party doesn't start until I walk in. The party doesn't start until I walk in. Does that mean that God can't do great things without you? No, of course not. God will always find someone else who's willing and able. But it's about showing up and being present where God has placed you, because the party doesn't start until I walk in. You know, we've seen hundreds of lives changed by what we do as a church. We've seen people go from darkness into light. We've seen lives change for eternity. We're making an eternal investment. You know, we all have issues. We all have junk that we're working through. We all have things that we're dealing with. But don't let that stop you from participating in what God is doing in the here and now. Don't let that stop you. You know, the most depressing times that I've had in my life were times where I've thought about myself too much. Where I've just thought about myself too much. But the most fulfilling times, the most joyful times, have been the ones where I've poured out my life in service for other people. Arise and shine, for your light has come. You know, it's interesting that the Bible doesn't say that we are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love yourself. I think we love ourselves more than we think we do. You know, we think about ourselves first in every situation before we think about another person. We think about how situations will affect us, and instead of thinking of the impact that it will have in another person's life. We think of how many issues we have and how stressed we are and how tired we are and how busy we are and how hungry we are. We love ourselves. But the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself, which means to put others ahead of you. And that's such a struggle, to put other people ahead of you, to live a life of sacrifice, to live a life of a servant. I can't think of anything more fulfilling than putting others ahead of myself. Come on, how do we stay excited about what God's doing without needing a conference or a missions trip to stir us up again? We can serve people every single day where God has placed us, building consistency into your life and serving people every single day. We don't have to wait to serve people once a month or once a year. We can do it right now where we are today. Amen? Amen? The party doesn't start until I walk in. We need to make a shift today where we see ourselves as people that are able to contribute where God has placed us. We can put on the new lens that God has given us. Put on that lens and realize I am of worth. I am of value. I do have ideas. I do have something to bring to the table because the party doesn't start until I walk in. Come on, are there any party starters in here today? Listen to this. If you're talented, skilled, and capable of adding value, which by the way you are, you need to come off the bookshelf and shine brightly. And you need to do it now. Imagine if we all put others first. Imagine what kind of a world that would be. Imagine if we all contributed where God has placed us. Imagine if we realized the responsibility on us to actually make a difference where we are. Imagine if all of us stepped out and stepped into the purposes of God. I think we would blow the roof off of this nation. I think we would change the environments in our cities and in our towns. God has an assignment for you.